Shalom, Berachot, many blessings apiece. This is Dr. Akiva Gamlil of B'nai Noach Torah Institute and Ruach Or Audio Visual Lending Library. Welcome. Thank you for joining with me. Dear ones, we're in Sefer Shemot. That's the book of Exodus. And we're in the fifth Parshat, Mishpatim. And Mishpatim means these are the laws. And Mishpatim begins in Exodus chapter 21, verse 1, and runs through chapter 24, verse 18. And our Divrei Torah Parshat, our weekly Parshat, is entitled Understanding the Honor HaTorah Requires for Parents. And our Divrei Torah Parshat is in the loving memory of Mr. Yochanan Bond. May he rest in peace. Dear ones, when we look at HaTorah, we have two very unique pasukim that are not quite next to each other, but that are just basically one pasuk, one verse away. So we go to Shemot. Kuf Aleph, that's chapter 21, and it's Perik Kuf Aleph, and to Pasuk Tet Vav, 21:15. And there we see Umake, Avi Vaimo. And so it says, and whoever strikes their father and their mother. Now, in this case, many translators would say whoever strikes either their father or their mother. The Vav normally would represent and. But here, if we translate that and, then it would mean one would have to strike their father and they would have to strike their mother both. And HaTorah is not trying to give that impression. HaTorah is giving the impression if you were to strike either a father or a mother, then we continue on, mot you mat, you shall be put to death. Then, if we were to go ahead to verse 17, Yud Zion, we would see kalel, whoever curses Avi v'imo, your father and mother. But again, remember, the Vav doesn't mean and. In this case, it means either. Or, whoever curses either one's father or mother, mot yomat, shall be put to death. So we have two pasukim of HaTorah that are really interesting. It's really important to get the foundation of what HaTorah is saying here before we go too far. So let's lay out some foundations, some boundaries here of what HaTorah is saying. I have a feeling that individuals that would just read this in English would not have a clear understanding. So first off, these two halakha, these two laws from HaTorah, they are a continuation of the Ten Commandments that were given on Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai, when Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Ten Commandments. The reason that we know this is if we go to chapter 21, verse 1, it says, Ve'ele ha-mishpatim. See, the word Ve'ele, which is the first word, Vav Aleph, Lamed Hey, because it has the Vav in the very front. That Vav there lets us know it's a continuation. The Elef Mishpatim. And these laws also were given at Har Sinai. And these laws are also important like the laws given on Har Sinai, the first Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments. So that's how we know that they were given at the same time and they are connected. But we want to continue on with an explanation. So, when we look at these laws, the first one says, umake. We have to ask, what does it mean, umake? Because that means strikes. And then the other one is umkalel, which means curses. And so we're going to come back to defining. In the English, most translators are saying whoever strikes, whoever hits a parent, whoever curses a parent. This is the English translation that most everyone is going with. However, I want to go into more detail on that, but I want to do that in a little while. The first thing we have to understand is that these are two of the 613 mitzvot of HaTorah. And these two mitzvot of HaTorah are guidelines for a previous mitzvah of HaTorah. We look back to Shemot Kuf Yud Bet, that's chapter 20, verse 12, and we see, honor your father, kabed et avika ve'et imacha. So when we have the word kabed, kabed means honor. Normally it's spelled kuf bet vav dalet, but this is the Titus form of the word. This is the short root, kabed, and it means honor. Now, the honor that one is supposed to give their parents is like, it's amazing when you look at the Hebrew here, because it says et avika, honor everything from aleph to tav of your father, va et, and honor everything from aleph to tav imecha of your mother. Now that goes for stepfathers and stepmothers also. And then we're giving a reason. Lama'an ya'arikun yamecha al ha'adama. That your days will be lengthened upon the land. And then Asher Hashem, that Hashem Elohecha noten lach. That Hashem your God has given you. So we have several principles here. The honor that is given to a parent is just a 360-degree circle. Et avika ve'et imacha. It's supposed to include everything. You just can't leave anything out. It's just complete, total honor. That means if your parent is sick, you call them on the phone. That means if your parent is sick, you give them an email. That means if your parent is sick, you send them a card. That means if your parent is sick, and I mean real sick, or having a surgery, for example, like the Rebbetzin recently had, or like I went through a while back ago, you send them flowers. It's all inclusive. You don't leave anything out. This is your parent, and you are to honor your parent in such a way that it is a reflection of honoring God. Because we learn to honor God by loving our parents. And so a child, that doesn't properly honor their parent is insulting God. There is just really no greater insult than this, because if one doesn't have love for their parent, they cannot have love for the Creator. And if one doesn't honor their parent, they cannot honor their Creator. The two are attached. The two are together, because we look at our father and our mother in the same way that we look at our Creator. They're authority figures in our life. They brought us into this world. They raised us. They guided us. Even if the guidance wasn't really good, they're still our parent. We are required to give them the ultimate in respect, the ultimate in honor. That doesn't mean we have to agree with them. It doesn't mean that we always have to do everything they say. If a parent teaches us to violate the Torah, well, we are not allowed to do that. We respectfully have to decline disobeying a parent when it comes to the Torah. But on the other hand, we have to be respectful just the same. Well, you can say, Father, you know, the Torah teaches this way, and even though I'd like to make you happy, even though I'd like to please you, I have to honor the Torah, and you honor the Torah, because that's what we're commanded to do. And a parent is supposed to be aligned with our Torah. So part of the honor that's due a parent is because the foundation of what a parent represents. So if a parent is honoring HaTorah, if a parent is doing what HaTorah teaches, then a child, when they're told to do something, that should be in flow, that should be in the exact parallel direction of what HaTorah teaches. So there shouldn't be a conflict there. But if there is a conflict, the child is required to honor the Torah.
But the whole intent of what the Torah is teaching here is that a parent should be in alignment with HaTorah. And so that when a parent gives direction to the child, when a parent teaches the child, the parent is teaching the child what God has required us to teach from HaTorah. And so they're to walk hand in hand. They're to be together. And so that's why the Torah is saying, et avicha ve'et imacha. Because the Torah is basing this upon, well, we have two observant parents here. We have two parents here that are concerned about loving God. We have two parents here that are very concerned about following all 613 mitzvot of HaTorah. And if they're a spiritualist, all the mitzvot spiritualists are required to follow in HaTorah. And so when we have that basis, we have that foundation, then we can see that it's all-inclusive. Now, that's the foundation we're starting with in honoring a parent. Now, there's many times when parents don't do everything that they're supposed to, and that's not an excuse not to honor the parent, okay? The conflict comes in where a parent directs a child not to observe HaTorah, God forbid, to violate Shabbat or to violate Kashrut or do something like that. The child is obligated to observe HaTorah. But still, the child is not removed from the command of HaTorah and honoring one's parent. Even if a person's parent is really, really, really bad, okay, and not a good parent, and has done many things that are wrong, wherever one can find a way to honor the parent, they should do that. Now, then we reach the point, what if a parent is a rasha, an evil person? Well, when a parent is a rasha, they're an evil person, they're completely opposed to HaTorah learning, they're composed, against what HaTorah teaches, then they lose that respect and that honor until they change their lifestyle. But even this really, really naughty king who was a rasha, who was evil, when the man of God approached him, when the Novi, when the prophet of God approached him in HaTanakh, and he stood in respect because the Novi said, I have a word from God for you. And this wicked rasha stood. That's why we stand for Kaddish. That's right. Because we honor what that wicked king did. And so we have to see that even when a parent is really a rasha, even when they're really wrong, there are times when a ray of light will shine through. There are times when they'll say something that honors HaTorah, and we must immediately recognize that and we respond to it. All of Bnei Yisrael, when we say Kaddish, we stand for Kaddish because of one rasha, one evil king who stood because the Novi said, I have a word of God from you. So it's really important to understand just this. This is powerful, honoring one's parents. Now, when we look at the command here to honor one's parents, this is a command that's carried on into the New Testament. I'm very disappointed with much of the instruction I've heard from Christians and pastors and whoever about what they think it means to honor one's parent. This is firmly established in HaTorah. It's firmly established in the Midrash text. It's firmly established in the Talmud. And so for a Christian to understand what it really means to honor one's parents, they have to really go back to HaTorah. They have to go back to the Midrashic text. They have to go back to the Talmud to really get a clear understanding of what it means to honor one's parents. And so I really see a real failure there among Christians and complying with and following what HaTorah teaches about honoring one's parents. Now, I am specifically noting this. This is a command for Bnei Yisrael. And there are parts of this command that are for Bnei Noach, for spiritualists. But this is a direct command to Bnei Yisrael. And so when we move to chapter 21, verse 15, whoever strikes his father or mother, he shall put to death. And when we move to 17, whoever curses his father or mother shall be put to death. These are two exclusive commands for Bnei Yisrael. So that's the first thing we have to understand. Certainly, they're very good principles to follow for Noachites. But remember, Noach was emasculated by Ham, God forbid. And he wasn't murdered. He wasn't killed for that horrible deed that he did. And so that brings us to understanding that this is these two verses are specifically for B'nai Yisrael. And we have that comparison of a Noachite and Genesis and Bereishit that emasculated, that physically emasculated, castrated his father, God forbid. Father never had children. That is on the level of murder, because God commanded us to multiply, to be fruitful, to replenish the earth. And he blessed Noah, and he blessed Naama, his wife, and commanded them to have children. And this one son prohibited his father from having children. So that's on the level of murder. Just as if a man were to excite himself in such a way that he would spill semen onto the ground, that semen is considered life. And such a thing is acute to murder according to what HaTorah teaches. And so that's why when men have relationships with men and semen is admitted, that's not just a sinful act of two men having a horrible pleasure between each other, but it's also on the ground of murder, because there's no way that that semen can produce life, because it's being spilt onto the ground. It's being spilt in other places, God forbid. Whereas when a man has a relationship with a woman, the potential is that there could result something powerful, life, from that relationship. And so we have to understand these principles and why they're in place. And that's why the Torah specifically speaks a man should not lay with a man like he lays with a woman. A man should have no sex act with a man like he should have with a woman, because that's spilling semen, and that is on the level of murder. And it's sinful, and it's wrong. It's commanded by HaTorah not to do it. And so we get a little clearer picture when we understand what the reasoning behind it is. So here we understand these are for both just B'nai Yisrael. Then we have to understand that if a man or a woman were to strike their parent, that's horrible, that's wrong. But we understand that, number one, they have to be warned not to do that. So if there were a couple of Yidden there, and a young person walked up, or an older person walked up and struck their parent, God forbid, they've witnessed the act, okay? And there could be three or four people that witnessed the act, but they actually have to go to the young person. They have to go to that older person, whoever's committing the offense, God forbid. And they have to say, hey, stop, let's talk for a minute, we got to explain to you, this is forbidden by HaTorah. And if you repeat this act again, the result of repeating this act is going to mean that you're going to be put to death by strangulation. Then if that youngster, regardless of what their age is, were to strike their parent again, or if they were to curse their parent again, then they have already been warned, and then they've been warned in the presence of at least two witnesses, and then the act is followed again, God forbid, in the presence of two witnesses. They have violated HaTorah. They have insulted God as well as these parents that brought them into the world, and they're to be put to death. Now, of course, this is not outside of Eretz Israel and Galus, in the dispensation that we're in right now. We're dispersed from Israel. So this has to take place in Eretz Israel. And it has to take place when the Hamikdash is an operation. So it's not like you can visit Eretz Israel and you see a calamity taking place, God forbid, and you walk up and you say, this is what the Torah teaches, let me explain to you how serious this offense is that you're just doing, God forbid, and that you should apologize, you should never do this again, you should respect and honor, kavod, avim, you should honor your parents. And then the person does it again, God forbid, but HaMikdash is not in place, okay? The Sanhedrin, and which is next to the holy altar, the Mishkan, is not in place in that setting, and so we can't have the full observance of this mitzvah when pieces are missing. So, dear ones, what I'm saying is there's many pieces that must be together. This is like a puzzle that has many pieces, and all the pieces have to be in place for this to be functional. And let me go a little bit further. That means a husband and wife are living in Eretz Israel. Their child is born in Eretz Israel and raised in Eretz Israel. There's an atmosphere about the holiness of the land. There's an atmosphere about the holiness of the people of B'nai Yisrael. There's a Bet HaMikdash in Yisrael. We travel three times a year to the Bet HaMikdash. We have a Kohen Gadol, and we have the Kohanim that pronounce blessings upon us. Our child is raised with a Torah atmosphere from parents, uncles, aunts, cousins, neighbors, grandparents. All of these are contributing factors. And so these factors being in place, then, if one were to violate this as I have described, then they would be put to death. God help us all. So we can recognize why this is for B'nai Yisrael now, and we can recognize there's a lot that has to be in place. This is not just a few words sitting around the breakfast table, the dinner table, about honoring one's parents. This is not just a sort of dissertation that's written by an email or a letter demanding or requesting respect. It's a livelihood that begins before conception. That has to do with the land of Eretz Israel. It has to do with observance of HaTorah. It has to do with a whole community of people and the atmosphere that is brought about in Eretz Israel. So we can understand now, when we look at this, what the honor of HaTorah requires for parents. The beginning and the ending of it is not just around a dinner table or a few words. It is a lifetime and a lifetime and a lifetime and a lifetime of cycles living in a holy land with a holy temple and the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol and the Sanhedrin, the men of the Great Assembly being there and us being instructed correctly over a period of a lifetime. So even though this isn't HaTorah, the fact is this is not something that one should ever see in the land of Israel, because it's the holy land where the holy people, it's almost like the lifestyle that one lives, that's ones that's in honor with their lifestyle and connection with God and following HaTorah. This should not even be a possibility, so to speak. Now, to conclude our discussion, I need to define the word umake. Umake is, like I said, frequently translated strike. But it doesn't necessarily have to be strike. It could be wound. It could be trouble. It could be plague. So whoever troubles one's parents, like a strike, like a fatal blow, God forbid. Whoever plagues one's parents like a strike, like a fatal blow, God forbid, they could be put to death. And then we have the other word, which is kalel. And if you look at it in chapter 21, verse 17, you see it says there, umeh kalel. And again, that's a curse, but it's a damnation, it's a calamity, it's evil. Okay, it's a malediction about uttering an evil phrase, about uttering a destructive thought, a calamity towards one's parents, God forbid. So we define that cursing is not just saying a word that would be a curse word, like damn your parents, God forbid. It's that, but it's also the concept of pronouncing a curse, God forbid, or asking someone else to pronounce a curse or a calamity wished upon one's parents, God forbid. And so we want to define it as to what it really is, more so in the English, but yet we want to understand the setting that we've already gone over, that it must take place under certain circumstances. So we pray to God that no one would ever do such a thing to their parents. and that we should always honor and love our parents and do the right things and honor God and love God and do so through our parents. May Hashem bless each and every one that observes Torah mitzvot and for those that try. Shalom, shalom.